Brothers.
Fail to play properly, hold it flat in the palm of your hand and slap it smartly against a hard flat surface.
Best in the world. Been the best ever since day one on this microphone.
That's a weird thing to get hard about.
I have a problem, I'm a sex addict.
That's what I want. That's where I
want to
be.
The best in the world.
Ooh, we're into the darkness next.
Jake, welcome to the return of Planeswalker Asylum, the greatest thing in the world, the Pixies of the podcasting universe.
Really?
We had to take a break to refine our art.
Exactly.
To get to the next level.
Our hiatus makes us, more like the Pixies.
I don't accept anything that makes us more like the Pixies.
Our listeners have better taste in music than Daniel does, so...
We do have a large population of Pixies listeners.
Yeah.
It's my goal to get followed by the Pixies Twitter account, so.
Wow.
Hello.
Do they use it?
Like, our cross-section of listeners is really bizarre. So I imagine we have a lot of Pixies listeners.
Probably. They're bizarre.
And some listeners who think we are Pixies.
You're saying they're bizarre people.
Sure. Fuck our listeners. Who cares?
Hey, well, we're going to do Kitten
Castle. That's basically what we've been saying for the last month, right?
Last month? I've been on this train for a long goddamn time.
Yeah.
So we're going to kick the castle. And I'm going to start with Chris.
Ooh.
Kick the castle, Chris.
I actually played Magic.
Wow.
And not just that. I'm one of those people who enables someone who like has walked away from the game for years and they think they're clean.
Oh, I like that.
I had a coworker who was talking to me about it, and he was like, "Hey, you should show me how to play again." And I said, "Sure."
That's not very good as a story.
No, just to show him the mechanics of it, I brought my blue-white control deck.
I thought you might have brought your Tezzeret deck out of retirement or something.
Yeah, that's mechanics.
And since he didn't bring anything with him, I just split the deck in two.
Logically.
Which is weird because it's a deck that like not only has one ofs but is dependent on those one ofs.
Right.
Yep.
Like I had the one elixir of immortality, and I had all the Sphinx's revelations.
Conveniently.
However, I didn't have any win cons, so like I kept digging through the deck, and eventually, my plan was to just deck him. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, at the end of your turn, crack the elixir, draw the elixir, cast the elixir, crack the elixir. He's like, no, wait a minute. I think I'm gonna counter that elixir. And he's just slowly putting it together in his mind. I'm like, oh my god. I have lost to someone who has not played this game in about 7 or 8 years.
Everybody wins their first game, Chris.
You got the first taste is always free.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't run your elixir of immortality out into counter magic. That's my kick
to cast. All right. That's Chris's update on Magic from about a year ago.
Hey, right, blue-white control. Blue-white trading post is still the hot new thing.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
See, I assumed you were talking like TCG player a year ago. Like, that's when you were still playing with Elixir of Immortality, so I just assumed.
I will play with Elixir of Immortality as long as it is legal in any format. I am
all
playing.
Your life.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's immortal.
Thank immoral God, or immortal?
We got an echo coming off somebody.
It's Sam's butthole.
I don't think it's my butthole. My butthole's pretty tight. There's not a lot of echo chamber in there.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Dan,
I've spoken to my asshole a lot.
Dan? Kick the castle?
Magic sucks, I quit.
Boom, bitches!
Now,
you didn't expect to hear that
level
on the castle.
Quit is this? Is this like... this is like a week quit? Or a month quit?
I am...
been a while now.
Okay, all right. We can do this Alcoholics Anonymous style. I am 1.5 months clean. I guess you play Commander.
You play Commander, so not entirely true.
Yeah.
That's like the methadone of magic.
I was about to say, hi, I'm Sam. I'm an alcoholic. I've been sober for 1.5 months. I've been doing speed for about half that time, though.
Well, I don't know. It's like, you can drop your jaw that I'm playing Commander after hearing what I've said about it on this podcast. That's fine. You should. You should also give me shit about it. But at the same time, you'll remember that I don't actually consider it magic, so I'm not actually playing magic, and I haven't actually played magic for the last 1.5 months. What I've been playing is a fun card game that uses the exact same rules and cards as Magic the Gathering, and been using that to actually enjoy myself.
Yeah.
Which is a far, far, far departure from what I had been doing with Magic before that.
Did you just admit you masturbate while you play?
Duh.
Okay.
I have masturbated and played Soulforge at the same time. I'm going to be honest with everyone.
That comes as no surprise.
Yeah, none whatsoever.
But yeah, there is no stirring within my being to return to the competitive scene, at least not right now. So I don't know if I'll come back when I'll come back. But,
well, how's that factor in with Glory Seekers? Is that still happening?
We haven't recorded Glory Seekers in the same amount of time that we haven't recorded... and that's mainly because both Chris and I decided to take a break at the same time.
Oh,
did
that's
you
right.
Find the glory?
Nope. Which is
okay.
Mainly, which is another reason why I stopped playing Magic.
So, when you say you haven't recorded Glory Seekers in the same amount of time as Planeswalker Asylum, we're assuming our fans don't know about the secret episodes we just didn't release, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Those are going to get remixed into and released on the Platinum Collection.
Yeah. There are remixes to Ignition.
Yes.
Hot and fresh out the kitchen.
Oral Sex Orgies 1-5.
God, no, I want to know what's on those episodes.
Okay, well, kick the castle, Sam.
So, I didn't really know what to do because I forget that Kick the Castle is part of the podcast, but...
Yeah, somehow we
I
do
realized,
that.
So, I cannot... legally say where I work. So I work at the only bookstore left in America. And tonight I'm, you know, doing a little shelving in the bargain area. And some old man comes up to me. He's like, hey, I'm looking for books about computers. And I was like, okay, sure. Well, what would you like to know about computers?
Hey,
he's like,
boss.
I would like to program Excel. I was like, okay, sure. I can show you where all the books about Microsoft Excel are. I walk him over there. I show him we've got like 4 shelves of this shit. Is there anything else I can do for you, sir? And he says, no, and turns around and just walks away. Like, doesn't look like look at a single fucking Excel book, nothing. He just, like, leaves. And I was like, well, what the shit? So I go back, tell my cashier, because I want to bitch to someone, because I just walked this guy across the fucking store for no reason, and go back to shelving. Now, where I'm shelving, I can't see the next section over, but I can hear what's happening. And from the next section over, I hear this motherfucker say, oh, yeah. And then the kid says, anything else I can do for you, sir? And I just fucking left. This motherfucking old man just pulls the shit out of me.
That gentleman is my favorite person in existence.
Like, I didn't know whether to be mad or want to give him a high five.
Definitely should have gone over and high fived him and said,
definitely.
Sir, that was marvelous.
Well played, sir.
Because he picked the exact opposite end of the store from where I was, like the farthest I had to walk.
That is just gorgeous.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the best way to troll you in the store, Sam? Besides that.
Well, honestly, I get a lot of people who come in and say, okay, here's the title of a book. And it's like, Phiblet's 96 Reasons on Why Not to Play Magic. And yeah. It turns out, that's not a fucking book. That's like a reference someone made in a blog post in like 1981 that they found on Tumblr somehow, and they're like, I want to read that. And they do this, and our system is so shitty that we have to look at the we have to check Amazon. I'm going to be honest with you. Occasionally I have to check Amazon for my job. Yeah, which incidentally is just – that's the same thing I did at my other job with books. Amazon's really like the price point of books and everything. Yeah. And if they don't have it or Google can't find it, you're just like, well, are you sure it's not under a different author? No one knows authors of books also.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you guys know who wrote The Shining,
I believe that was Abraham Johnson.
Now that's
Norman Mailer.
I'll be honest, both of those are closer, because at least Daniel said two names of people that were presidents, which probably wrote stuff, and Chris, yours was an author. Like, I'm very impressed. Whereas people are like, I want The Shining. I think it was Christopher Nolan. I'm like, you motherfucker.
Yeah. And that was most definitely written by Michael Bay. Yes, I want The Shining by Michael Bay. Look that up.
Like, unfortunately, all I've got is the Stephen King version, but, like,
I would like The Stand, by Stephen Agatha King. Christie.
Stephen King probably ghost wrote it for him.
Yeah.
Ghost
wrote it, yeah. But I actually really enjoy that part of my job when people don't know what they're looking for. Very satisfying.
So can we like move around books a lot?
Oh yeah, if you rearrange my shelves, that's my favorite thing ever.
What shelves are you responsible for?
I'm actually only responsible for Bargain and Gift, which always look like insurgents are occupying it, so it's all messed up. But and that could be because I'm responsible for it, or it could be because everyone's like, ooh, a bargain book. I should pick this up and carry it around the store and set it in the cafe.
Yeah, duh. Where else are you going to read it for free?
Yeah, that's the fucking truth. But yeah.
So how often do people bring you books and try to tell you they're on the bargain shelf for 90% off and they're not?
It's pretty hard to do that, actually. Though I have seen someone like put a sticker on a book that said 25% off, and they brought it up to me. I was like, well, I can't give you the 25% off because this isn't my sticker. And they're like, that's how it was advertised. I'm like, sucks.
Yeah, well, that's because that's how you advertised it.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it real.
I have caught somebody switching jackets, like put a bargain
jacket
over like a new thing.
Oh, wow.
And like, yeah, because it felt weird because I've checked out this book like multiple times. It's like, it looks like you picked up the wrong book. Here, let me go get you a copy of that. And I went out and like picked up the book for them and scanned it, and so they have a shitty copy of some bargain book instead of like the newest
movie. Yep.
So just to let you know, Sam, I'm going to be moving your bargain books to the Microsoft Excel section.
Thank you. I'm sure all my booksellers will be super pleased about that because they actually have to pick up, not me.
Oh.
Yeah, I just stand behind the register. And
then I'll move the Excel books to your section.
Based on, like, their shape and size and maybe their color.
That'd be awful.
Books by weight.
Amazon says the book I'm after is 1.6 pounds and it's red on the cover.
You didn't bother to look up author and title?
Nope.
That's not what I'm buying it for. Why would I look that up?
Yeah, I want a red book that's 1.6 pounds. What's wrong with you?
I'm only allowed to carry so much onto the plane with me. I can't just pick up any old book by any old author.
Yeah. All right, well, it looks like you're getting V by Susan Grefton, which incidentally is 1.6 pounds on Amazon and is red.
Did you just look that up?
Nope, but you can check.
1.6 pounds. That's what I need to snap a testicle from 6 feet.
Make sure you get the hard cover.
Oh, it'll be hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Rock hard.
Rock hard.
Hey, Brian, kick the
That's
guy.
Actually... Oh, fine. Yeah. Talk
yeah, we're
about
done.
Brian.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry to make you think that we're done with let's talk about Sam's work all night.
Well,
we're now a talk about work podcast.
This is where we talk about Brian's work all night.
Drive to work.
I actually want to do that a lot more than I want to talk about magic. This is much more enjoyable.
Yeah, work is sweet.
Brian.
Yeah, how's work, Brian?
That's pretty good. I guess my kid's cast will be I guess I'm talking about my cube.
Oh, man.
I depowered my cube.
Yep.
Amid much controversy, I'm sure.
Awesome.
Did you lose to a turn two mana drain again?
Oh, probably. I got tired of all the mana drains and the mana vaults and all the mana stuff, so
anything with mana in the name, I just
I banned everything with mana in the name. More vault.
Llanowar elves.
So I couldn't play Muta Vault anymore. That was kinda awkward, but no, I took all the power out and just changed. I probably changed about 80 to 100 cards out on my cube.
It's a whole new cube.
It basically is. We played it last Wednesday and it seemed pretty fun. You know, I think everybody just seemed to enjoy it. So, you know, if anybody's, I would like feedback on it. So, if anybody wants to check it out, it's on, I think in my info on my Twitter account has a link to it from CubeTutor. So,
is that wizardsnorman.com or outorgo.com?
That's at wizardsnorman.
Yeah, not Twitter,
.com. Sorry. And if you haven't been on CubeTutor,
when did we put the .coms on the Twitter?
You can program it in Microsoft Excel.
Yeah, Excel.
You can make it do that.
Hey, guys. Look at my Twitter. It's Amazon.com.
So I will plug a .com, though. If you haven't been on CubeTutor.com, it's a pretty cool site.
I actually just found
it.
Everybody
puts their cubes up on there. You can, like, draft it and play sealed decks out of people's cubes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So... you can get on there. If anybody wants to get on there and give me some feedback, I would very much appreciate it.
Cool.
Legit.
Why don't we just play in real life instead?
Legit.
Well, that's the goal, Sam.
Well, everyone has friends, Sam.
Oh, that's a good point. We are talking
to our listeners. Podcast.
See, I can't play Q with people in San Francisco, like, face-to-face, so...
Not with that attitude.
But now they can play my cube.
Shout out. San Francisco is about the most badass city ever. Did y'all see what they did for that leukemia kid? The Bat Kid?
Yeah,
stuff?
they dressed up like Gotham and let him be Bat Kid or whatever.
It's pretty awesome, man.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's way better than a blowjob.
They made him climb out
he's
like prison.
Five,
he's 5 years old, Sam.
Exactly. Will he die before he reaches blowjob age?
Probably.
Okay, then he should have got a blowjob instead.
Yeah,
that's
about right.
Called... Jesus Christ.
It's fine if everybody consents to it.
Oh, my God.
You can play Batman in the afterlife. But
Brian?
So is there a job?
Brian?
So, Dan, is there a link to NAMBLA and your Twitter info page?
I think Brian would like to give
North
his
American
prerequisite.
Marlon Brando Lookalike Association.
Brian would like to give his prerequisite speech about how the views and opinions on this podcast do not represent the views and opinions of Wizards.
If you're talking about NAMBLA, I think that goes without saying.
Yikes.
I don't think it goes without saying, Brian.
Oh,
I think it's exciting.
God.
This is bold new territory for
okay,
the podcast.
Okay, well, I'm going to keep the castle. No, it's not. So, some of the news some of you might have seen so far is I'm moving. And one of the reasons we started doing this through Google Hangout is because I was preparing to move. And so I'll be moving to Houston, Texas the next couple months. Next month, at least. Yeah. So, probably around like December 20th is going to be the date that we move down there. So
I didn't realize it was that soon.
Yeah. So, everything's moving pretty fast. And more to come. I'll have details, you know, throughout the next month exactly what's going on and everything, but just let everybody know that's what's going on. So I'll be developing Houston set in stone.
You don't want to come out here?
No,
it's nice.
Houston and Boston sound the same.
You can live in my apartment till you get started.
There's a lot of room.
You're gonna put the whole family
for all the kids.
You're gonna put the whole family in your apartment, Chris.
You see how much space I got here?
There's adequate space. There's
a river.
There's a river, exactly. They love the water.
Mm-hmm.
They love to swim. So Houston set in stone, and I don't know. It's gonna be pretty cool, guys.
Yeah. So
I'll be developing an annoying Texas accent.
Okay, that's fine. You'll sound like what? Wait, were you gonna say, "Hey boys"?
Yeah, hey boys, welcome to Planeswalker Island.
That's really all we want, honestly. Okay. Holy shit! And does anyone know if Heather's dead or not?
I've been talking to Heather. Hopefully, that her work will stop being cheapskates and hire some more people, and she'll be able to rejoin us at some point.
Oh, that's good to know.
So, but she's.
I wasn't sure if she was alive.
Heather's hoping after the new year that her schedule will lighten up some. So, there you go, guys, and yeah.
So what's happening in Texas, Jake?
Lots of stuff.
Or is this like secret technology that we can't tell our listeners about?
It's secret technology right now.
Yeah, suck it, listeners.
They have to guess. If they guess correctly,
you're not allowed to know things, Jon Snows.
Yeah.
You're going to be a cattle wrestler.
Cattle wrestler, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You don't know stuff, Jack Sparrow.
Or maybe you'll be a wrestle-catter.
Wrestle-catter.
That would also be cool.
Yeah. So if they can guess correctly, not Joel, because I'm pretty sure he knows.
Well, anyone from the Houston area would be a good start, right? Or yeah. Austin? Where are you going?
Houston, yeah.
You should go to Austin. Their parties are way better.
I might be discriminated against a little more in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the tattoos and all.
Yeah, they hate that.
Well, they might not like the OU tattoos.
Gin and tonic
tattoos are commonplace. You're supposed to keep Austin weird.
They might not like the OU tattoos.
Oh, yeah. Although, I will say, I actually discovered a book today that was When Did White Trash Become the Norm?
Wow.
And this woman's like, when did these tech millionaires start having tattoos on the outsides of their skin? When did you start wearing skin-tight leopard print? What's happening? And she's just like the scared little old white lady who's like, no, 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 no.
Wow, really?
Why is there clapping and shit?
Really?
Chris? I accidentally clicked a button. I'm sorry.
Really?
I'll do it again.
You son of a...
I thought they were pictures. I didn't know they were sounds.
This is not morning talk radio.
We have fucking standards. Oh, my God. We can have soundboards.
No, God, we can't.
We can be AM DJs.
Yep.
Whoa, we have standards? I think I'm done with this podcast, and we have standards.
Winnie in the butt.
We have standards. Like, we have to say the word cock so many times.
Oh, this is better for standards.
That's a standard.
Would it be easier if you could just click a button and have it say cock?
Cock, 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 Those motherfucking hard K's are in. Oh, shit. Did I just drop your call?
No.
We're good.
We're good, Sam.
Well, okay. If it tastes like honey chipotle chicken crispers, it does.
Yeah. Okay, pretty much, there's been, like, demand on the internet for us to talk about this. Like, real, like, an outcry for us to talk about Modo.
Uh-oh. That was different than I was going to suggest. I was like, I will pee on this podcast live.
So, Brian Kibler decided to complain about Modo crashing during a...
Jake. What? Tell it right. It was a dark and stormy evening.
Go ahead, you go ahead.
The Dragon Master.
And Kibler decided to spend a valuable weekend doing this when he could go to, like, an infinite number of raves with all sorts of...
girls.
...mind-altering substances and nubile teens.
It's true.
In the background of his mind, the wub-wub-wub beated. It beated so hard. Like rain pouring down his window. And as he crashed through this tournament... 4-0, 5-0, 6-0, 7-0. He was undefeated. He was in the top eight practically. He could feel it tingling in his balls. And then, lo did Modo say, Tisk, Mr. Kibler, You will not be champion today. And down came the Modo. And then he wrote a really bad letter.
After he yelled, and then walked, no!
Yeah. And then Wizards of the Coast turns off Magic Online. Yeah. Suck it.
Pretty much.
Well, Modo was nice enough to invite him back next weekend to do it again.
Yeah, during Eternal, or during...
yeah, PPDC.
Yeah.
How nice of them.
Well, Modo's nothing if not forgiving and accommodating, really. I mean, his misclicks are just...
I think you can... You could have just stopped that sentence that Modo is nothing.
Well, you know, this is a shameless plug, but yes, Cameron Cox and I have been saying this for literal years, and so should anyone else who have ever touched the Modo program. Yeah. It is terrible. Like, this
You're
is actually
terrible.
A thing that confuses me, because I have a deep and resounding respect for Marcel, and he plays Magic Online.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Like, he's a smart man. Why is he just throwing away his money like that?
Well,
Marcel makes money on Modo.
That's the only things he can get.
I guess so. That's like saying, well, I used to really like good drugs, and now I just like meth because I hate teeth.
Marcel makes money on Modo, playing the market.
Well, and that's fine. So. I mean, I know he did when he bought for the quote-unquote Modo crash, the dot-com bubble burst, yeah. Kids.
Although I do
standard,
like
standard cards.
As a result of their big reaction here, they got rid of standard dailies or all standard events, which were like the only event you could actually participate in to turn a profit, essentially.
Yes.
As part of their it feels like an overreaction because there were no problems with the daily events.
Well,
they weren't the people that were crashing.
Chris, why don't you answer this for us? Is it possible like they're server structure where they're taking stuff down, working on it, that they couldn't run those kind of events, maybe? Or
I'm going to be honest with you.
Is it like they don't have a testing server and like a production server?
Well,
yes, I agree with that.
I'm just trying to figure out why.
You're right. They do not have those things because they don't know what those words you said mean.
Well,
because
honestly,
the fact that they seriously, the development guy because he was on the Pro Tour. Not because he was a good software engineer.
They were like, we got a server. Let's run a game.
Well, I'm trying to figure out, Chris, why would they stop doing daily events?
Because the entire point of all this is so they can back up, like learn, figure out how to back up tournaments, like major money-worthy tournaments. So they stop the daily since those are going to be the first things they try out the new program patch on.
Probably, yes.
But Chris is saying they should have a test server.
But they should have a test
that.
Server to do this.
Yeah, they should have a lot of things that they don't have.
Okay, so honestly,
but I mean, a test server. I mean, can't they have a test server in like a day? Really?
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know. Like, you'd have to know what their hardware is and like how much of it you can duplicate and how much you can.
Well, they actually make a literal fuck ton of money, so
yeah. But
I mean,
that's spending to make Modo better. That money's for spending on CEO helicopters.
All right. Well, did you see according to the Modo people, the reason that they did this now is in part response to the Kibler outcry, but also because their budget just went up for development.
Oh. No, yeah. Well, convenient.
Actually,
convenient.
No,
they also had a second
this.
Reason.
No, I actually believe this because, like, not a week, maybe 2 weeks before, Hasbro just had, like, a big financial meeting, and they expressed, like, interest in, like, increasing development in existing products, and the things they, like, functionally named were, like, Magic Online. Obviously, Paper Magic is doing amazing and should continue to do so. They're going to increase their My Little Pony line, and like the high school girls version of My Little Pony, which is like my
slightly
high school
larger pony.
No,
yeah, I don't know what it is, but
My Little Pony,
anyway, Hasbro said, "Hey, we're actually making a shit ton of money off of these two things, and should probably give back to those things." So I 100% believe they got more money. I just don't believe for a fucking instant they were going to do anything with it. They were just going to jerk themselves off with Benjamins.
Right.
Especially with the new little hollow strip. They're just like, yeah, the blue strip feels so good on my fucking labia.
They keep throwing this money at the same room of jackass monkeys that made the shitty programs to begin with.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Here's one thing that, like, I've talked about elsewhere, but I really, really believe this is, like, so can anyone say right now that the design of Magic the Gathering is not very solid?
You mean Modo? The game?
No. Magic the Gathering, Paper Magic, like, the people who are doing, like, it's, R&D it's is really been. Solid. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Rosar's got it turning along, yes.
So the amazing thing about Magic is that, like, Mark Rosewater releases State of Design every year. Like, everyone seems to be a cohesive team. Like, everything about developing Magic is amazing.
So you
and everything else about Magic could be done better by a fucking six-year-old.
Yeah.
And, I don't know about it. Well, I mean, what do you mean by everything?
Like,
Modo.
Well, Modo is, like, the biggest thing, obviously, but, like, I have problems with organized play. Like, I have
problems with organized play, but I can't go that far. I mean, there's no other, like, physical card game that has organized play anywhere near as good as Magic.
And that's fine, but when compared with the development department, they're still honestly years behind. Like, and maybe that's just because Magic development team is so actually really good.
I don't think organized play is that far. I mean, I think it's very, very good. Look at the number of people they get out to play at Grand Prix, PTQs. Look what they do. Yeah. The pre-releases are so much better than they used to be.
And I agree with all that.
I just don't agree with you, Sam. Sorry.
Oh, that's fine. Like,
I mean, it's not perfect by any means, but to say it's not like a 6-year-old couldn't do better. I mean,
sure, obvious hyperbole there.
But well, I know, but that's just, I think organized play, they continue to improve it. I mean, it's not perfect. I mean, they're expanding the prize pool of GPs. I mean, they listen to the players. At least in organized play and Magic development, they listen to the players. Like Modo, until now, they pretty much said, fuck you guys, we're making a lot of money, we don't care.
Well, and sure like, that's the thing is like, by and large, I feel like organized play is the closest to development, honestly. And regardless, I still feel like there's some development to do there. But, like, obviously Modo is the deep, deep, deep outlier in this whole, like, Wizards of the Coast, you know, setup.
Absolutely.
Where I honestly feel like can't do anything right. Like, at least they have all the Magic cards from sets in them. Like, that's the things that I feel positively about. It's like, you didn't forget that Acidic Slime was in, like, Magic 2012 or whatever.
Well,
good job, guys.
Well, the big controversy before that is Modo players were promised a way to get Vintage cards before the end of the year. And then they announced that won't be till next year. And who knows when it'll be now.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? It'll definitely happen next year, but
well, and there's been a bigger theme, too, of, like, reduced payout for events, payout for Cube.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the reasons I don't play it anymore. It's just it's not worth the time you put into it. It's not worth it.
Well, and, I mean, honestly, Magic always has a real opportunity cost to it. I mean, Daniel, I feel like you can attest to this as well. Like, from even a non-Magic playing standpoint, you know, like, your time could have been elsewhere. But
The opportunity cost of Magic is why I stopped playing Magic.
Exactly. And that's the thing. So whenever especially your online tournament structure, because like that I feel like has a kind of flexible opportunity cost. Sure, you could play anytime you want, but if you're playing big tournaments, you can't really play anytime you want. And so like when that opportunity cost starts to be too high compared to what the realistic prize payout is, especially things like Cube, which are supposed to be fun, and they're not fun because it's just not worth your time, mm-hmm. then you know you've got a real problem with your product.
My whole thing with Cube is like the first time they did the Cube, maybe the first couple of times, they basically end up flooding the market with packs, making packs worthless.
Yeah.
And then they scaled the payout back so far to where it was like a total waste of time to even play. It's like they couldn't find like some sort of in-between to make it work.
That's what, I don't understand why they can't make basic economy determinations on some of
these. Well, Jake, the answer to that's really simple. no one who works at Wizards of the Coast knows how business work. They all know how card games work, and they're really, really good at that. But they're terrible at business.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, I was amazed when, like, you know, in his little letter, part of his thing was, it's all right, guys, I was on the Pro Tour. I know how important Magic is.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the qualification that matters for you. Like, I understand you're just trying to say, hey, I identify with you, but, like, it just emphasizes the problem in, like, who they hire.
Yeah, it's okay to hire pro players to design the game.
Yeah.
It's not just to hire a rando player to, like, do programming.
Now, part of the problem is, and I've only heard this word of mouth, but I've heard that, like, the salaries they pay software engineers are so low. I'm assuming part of the thing of, like, because people are willing to take less because, oh, look, I work at Wizards. How cool is that? At that point, like, you're going to get lower. You're going to have a less talented staff.
Well, we know where they need to put the budget.
Well, we know will come work with us for less because they're our friends and they don't want to gouge us. And that's why we hire our friends.
You got to do what you got to do to keep the game profitable. Hasbro needs the money.
Yeah.
And I think
this is an excellent business model. It's been working for a
long
time.
I've always thought, like one of the things organized play has, they have, like, Helene.
Yeah, that was a great point you brought up,
Brian. A person that can really articulate, they can take player feedback and articulate what they're doing in a way that players like to hear and you actually see progress, where Modo has never had that. And I think that's a big problem. You know, I think if they would have had some sort of, like, community liaison, I can't talk today.
Liaison to
the players of Modo.
Lesbian?
I mean, they probably could have solved this a year and a half ago instead of
Modo should have more lesbians.
I mean, what's worth doing? Like, everyone tweets at him.
Nothing.
Gets talked to.
He makes excuses.
Well, I mean, it's obvious he doesn't do it. I mean, he's just not near as good as Helene and, you know, and the rest of the organized play for the paper game. It's just,
it just didn't do anything before now, right? Like, people have been tweeting at all of the Modo developers, whoever draws the short straw for the week and is the face of Modo that week.
Yeah,
like Ryan Spain or Worth, it doesn't matter. People have been tweeting at them forever. People have been sending them emails forever. People have been bitching in the program the way they want them to forever about – none of it changed until Brian Kibler got pissed off. None of it changed until somebody that they actually cared about said something. And you know what that says to me? That they don't give a flying fuck about every regular Joe, quote-unquote, that is facilitating their whole fucking job, is bankrolling their entire goddamn department. They just don't fucking care about them. Their voice doesn't mean anything. Doesn't matter how many voices there are. That combination of voices, meh. I can just delete that email. It's not that big a deal. Oh, wait, Brian Kibler's bad-mouthing us on Twitter. Shit, the boss is going to yell at me for this. Oh, God, I finally better do something about this problem that's been staring us in the face for fucking years.
That's basically what I was talking about. You know, they just, you know.
I think
Helene will talk to anybody. We'll get feedback
anybody.
From anybody.
Correct. Yeah, she talks to...
I mean, I've talked to her multiple times.
Yeah, she's even talked to us.
Yeah. And like, for Modo, I mean, now these people, you know, if they even respond at all, and obviously they don't even, like, take it under advisement, any suggestions people make. And the whole beta thing is just it's a disaster.
Oh,
I mean, they've been beta this thing for, it seems like, a year now, and it's just terrible, and everyone says it's unplayable, and I just don't understand
it's worse than the original, somehow. It's worse than the original.
That's
impressive.
Yeah, that is pretty impressive.
You'd almost try to make it worse.
Like, literally, you could have just taken the original and made it prettier, and people would have been happier.
Right.
Just update the graphics.
That's another thing, too. People kind of like, why can't this look like Duels of the Planeswalkers? You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, people kind of just don't understand that. So
it's a joke.
I think there's another side to what Daniel's saying too, and it's part of that. And it's also is like when you get complaints from us nobodies, right? They're like, oh, they complain all the time. They're not going to really quit. And then when it's coupled with people complaining and Brian Kibler telling people to quit, they're like, oh, these people are probably going to listen to him. We better do something.
Well, I just got fed up with it a long time ago. I mean, I haven't drafted on there in a year. I sold all my cards.
No.
It's just not worth it.
Daniel, do you remember when that one guy thought I accidentally stole his cards?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the last time I logged on to Moto. So because even though I didn't steal his cards, I gave him like everything I could. And fucking, like, it's that simple. It's just, like, I didn't want to interact with that program because it was so terrible.
And I can't fucking hear anything else.
Yeah. Someone's very seriously on the nasal breathing. Anyway, but my point is, like, Magic was, I hear stories about misclicks. Okay, I'll probably do that. I hear stories about it's weird and awkward and sometimes buggy, and I was like, okay, sure, I can play through a lot, all that. And then I actually download Moto because I want to be good at this game. I want to play more. I want this so badly. And I am greeted by Castle Wolfenstein has fucked Microsoft Excel.
Yep.
And like questions like, how do I play a game? Figure it out.
There's no like opening interface. There's no little tutorial. No, it's actually the worst. Like this program was not designed for human beings. Human beings enjoy visual stimulation. They enjoy being led a little bit when they open something up. This was not made in such a way.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why they didn't treat it more like an MMO.
I don't know why they didn't treat it more like a program human beings would need to use.
So,
well, like the earlier iterations of it, like kind of have an MMO vibe terms of like
not really.
Graphics for like tables of games and
you
all
had that.
That,
but that's just a graphical representation. You didn't actually have like a character that say, hey, let's go play at this table, you know. It really wasn't. I think
they've gotten rid of features over the years.
Yeah, I think Brian.
It's like the only program on the world that. Whereas as the game goes on, you get less choices.
Well, I think Brian and I both have played probably every iteration of this program, right?
Yeah, I played it when it was very first free beta.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. And so it's always been crappy.
I mean, they took leagues away like years ago.
And said it would come back.
Bring those
6 years later.
And they never have.
6 years later.
Like, I would have been fine if it looked like, I don't know, Yahoo Chess. Jesus shit.
Yeah.
But it didn't. It just looks awful. And that's my biggest problem, because so many people, like Daniel said, put up with so much if you give that little bit of lead and you make it look pretty.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, as a decision, I know it's bad timing to do it now, but is there a decision to actually do something? I mean, is it going to be good? Is it good for Moto in the long run, or is it irreparably just damage it?
I just don't have faith that they're going to make it better.
Well,
they won't make it better if they keep just hiring their friends. If they keep not paying actual people who make real video games to make their video game, it will continue to be awful.
Yeah, like they don't have the expertise. Like even if
they
want
don't.
To,
yeah. Like Duels of the Planeswalkers was made by a studio that actually makes video games.
Yeah,
and it looked like a real product.
Well, and I'll be honest with you. Allegedly, they have hired the team that works on Duels to also work on Magic Online.
That would be
amazing.
And that
was about 2 years ago, and 3 or 4 months now.
Yeah, that hasn't actually happened.
That must be a rumor.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what they have said they've done.
Yeah.
And well, we still haven't seen that interaction, that, like, deep level. And we hope from that from the beta. And obviously we haven't seen that from the beta because, well, that beta. Oh, shit.
I don't know. I think
no one adapted until they were forced to.
I think if you want to fix this, you can fix it quickly and make it awesome, right? If you really want to. But if you go with the same strategy they've always been going with, I just don't have faith in it. It's kind of like the healthcare.gov thing. It's like the three students in Massachusetts like fixed it like in an afternoon, you know. And
yes,
And it's like, I think if you hire those people like that, the people that are interested in doing this project, you know, for real, because it's their professional thing, not because it's a magic thing, you know,
yeah.
That those people will get it done quick and those people will make something awesome.
Well, and I'll be honest, the thing that blows my mind is, well, we all know a large portion of Magic players who are in the college and like master's degree plus demographic are computer design majors or computer science majors. Like, yeah. There were a ton of fucking options of people who would literally suck everyone's dick to work for Wizards of the Coast. And
well,
yet,
that's why they're paying them what they do.
Yeah.
Well, and that's fine, but I don't think it's they're paying them to do what they do. They're paying their friends to do what they do. And there are tons of worthy applicants, especially on like a computer science position where you don't actually have to be in Seattle to do it.
Yeah.
But they just simply won't hire you because sucks. You're not living in Seattle.
Yeah.
And they're needlessly like limiting their like pool of applicants because their pool of applicants, I have no doubt, is actually insane and full of some of the best talent in, I'm not going to say the world, but at least in the magic playing world. Like,
probably right.
And
that's an interesting point.
Saying,
like, I wonder why they have that limitation on no non-local applicants. I've never, now that I think about it, I have never seen a job that has that limitation.
I think
with them, because that's it.
Because drafting is part of your job description.
Yeah.
You have to be able to draft at work.
There are jobs that have that restriction, but.
Are they in the software community?
I don't. Maybe not in the software community. No, but I've seen jobs.
That's the thing is like because that's so integrated with the expansion of technology, with the way we live, with the fact that the internet fucking exists.
Yeah,
and
see,
WotC seems to ignore that.
This is a throwback. It's a throwback to old game design days because that used to be something that was required when you were designing a game.
Well, sure, you can get together on like. Come over to my house on Thursday. I've got some pizza, and let's see if this thing I've got works.
So it's pretty much it's pretty much an old TSR rule that's just kind of like become part of the company, you know, that everyone did back then. That is kind of archaic, and they shouldn't have anymore because you can do game design without living there too. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, while I agree you can do game design, I really enjoy what WotC's doing with game design and don't want to, fuck with that. But
I've got to
obviously,
imagine, like, the chemistry requires a lot of physical presence.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, we know that better than a lot of podcasts out there, so.
Yeah, whatever. I think for game design, I think it's probably good that everybody be there. But, I mean, I don't know why they limited that for the applicants for this is I don't understand. So that makes any sense.
I mean, I honestly just think it's because, well, Wizards of the Coast is really good at traditions. Like, as soon as they set something going, they want to continue it. And even if it takes them years to continue it and they forget, they're like, but no, we did this before. We should do it again. It's just like you make the card or great design cert, all this shit. Wizards of the Coast wants to do stuff they've done before. And Hasbro is saying, well, you're making money actual hand over fist. Like, you're doing better than My Little Pony, and that's our only other lucrative enterprise.
They got Nerf.
With the exception of our TV station, which
they
actually
Nerf.
Still loses money.
Nerf.
So, pardon, Jake?
Nerf.
What'd you say?
They got Nerf.
Okay, yes. They do have Nerf. So
you're saying
they got,
could Nerf something.
What? No. So they've got their shitty.
Yeah, all those Nerf bats they need.
They have Nerf, which makes some money. They have My Little Pony, which hits the magic market and the little kid market. And then they have Magic the Gathering, which is just, well, let's put stupid pictures on cards and see what people will pay for them.
I mean, it's pretty much printing money at this point.
Yes. Like,
they have a
actual
mint.
Literal money.
Like, Hasbro has a mint.
Yeah, and they get to print every single card as if it were, what, like 7 cents or something like that? No, more than that. Fuck. I mean, whatever 15 divided by $4 is, or $5, whatever we're charging these days.
They put 16 pieces of cardboard in the pack and the wrapper. Like, that's the pack. Well, and the box and the plastic around it.
Sure, and at least one of those pieces could be a land or a insert that says, you should buy Modern Masters packs, or whatever next set is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, frankly, they literally are just spitting out little bits of change. And that's fine. Like,
and Moto, they don't even have that overhead.
Yeah.
No.
Exactly.
And that's the thing that actually confuses me.
I know.
Because, like...
We have now, the goose that lays the golden eggs here.
Well...
Too many geese.
Our listeners are... I don't know, probably not that intelligent because they're listening to fucking us right now. But let's assume our listeners can do simple math. So $4 a pack for 15/16 cards given a token is, I mean, that's some money.
What is it?
Now in Moto,
what is it, Sam?
Well, yes, obviously it's some money, but I'm saying
since
like,
you just insulted the listeners, what is it literally?
And they didn't do the math.
I'm sorry, I'm not good at division in my head. Okay,
long division, motherfucker.
Actually,
can you do it?
No, I can't. I'm sorry, Samuel L. Jackson. But more to the point, like. When you look at that Moto and they're still charging the exact same price as a draft down at Wizards Asylum, and you're not giving me anything, then I'm pretty sure you're like, there's a serious problem with what you're charging me.
But it's about 25 cents a card.
If you get a whole set, you can turn them into real cards.
Of some sets.
After redemption costs now, they increase that dramatically too.
Well, plus like I can't redeem Nemesis sets if like let's assume we've got like a fucking Marcadian mask block like a draft, which they have done in the past.
Well, you can't
and
expect,
you
can't expect the way you expect them to just keep sets of Marcadian masks laying around for people to redeem.
No. What we expect is them to not charge the same price. For cards online as
go.
They do in paper, and to just abolish redemption entirely.
Yeah.
That's what we
because expect. I understand. Let's say you were really like you are the Will Craddock of fucking the area, and you're crushing it. You get a couple set redemptions in stuff like that. It saves you money. It makes you better. Like you're doing exactly what you need to do, and that. I might add, is a small percentage of actual players. Now, that means that Moto, like, what you pay for Moto is actually reasonable. Like, and that's fine. But for everyone else, what you pay for Moto is not reasonable. And I get it. There's a game with wins and losses, so sure, sometimes you're just going to fucking miss that win-loss mark. And, well, instead of making $2, you lost $2, and that sucks, but... We all agree, like, there's some level of gambling to the game and whatnot, but...
You're rambling.
I think
rambling because he's drinking gin.
Okay.
Well, this happens every time Sam drinks gin on the podcast.
I'm going to say, I think we've said what we need to say on Moto. Let's talk about what's happening in the real Magic world.
Yeah, let's talk about Grand Prix next. DC, right?
Grand Prix DC ended today.
Do we want to even say who won?
Yeah, Owen Turtenwald. Good job.
Yeah, that guy.
Who?
Oh, really?
I don't know. They played some old cards.
He beat Sam Black in the semis, so Sam Black gets to play in the semis again and lose.
Just like normal.
Yeah, finally won a Grand Prix. This is his first actual Grand Prix win, right?
That is his first win.
Oh, that's cute.
He did like 15 top eights or something before then.
The top eight was full of blue.
Yeah.
There
like,
was
like you do.
Well, it's Legacy.
1,700 Legacy players, right?
They had 1,800,
1,800,
think.
Okay.
Second biggest Legacy tournament ever, besides like GP Madrid or something.
Madrid. It was Madrid, yeah. Pretty impressive.
You say there's a lot of blue decks, but there's a lot of different decks in the top eight. It was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Plus, there was a Death and Taxes to finish. Craig Wesco was number one after the Swiss.
Wesco.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Craig.
Death and Taxes top eighted this week. In Eternal weekend, last weekend, it won.
Yeah, it's a really good deck, and it plays a bunch of planes. So
yeah,
and then a Dredge deck was also in the top eight.
Dredge seemed well positioned. Nobody had been really playing a ton of graveyard stuff.
Yeah, second place was Jared, I guess Bocher. I don't know who that is, but with Sneak and Show, kind of the bad guy of the room, I guess. Andrew Cuneo made a good run with Elves.
Wow.
Which is surprising.
Of course, Turnwall played Blue Eye Red Delver with True Name two True Name Nemesis in the main.
That seems so weird. Like that Blue White Red Delver deck just isn't any good. I don't understand how that deck won.
I think it looks perfectly fine.
It feels awkward.
It's just not your kind of deck. But
it's fine. Like there's no my kind of deck, not my kind of deck in Legacy, unless you're talking about like pure burn combo. But
that's
it's not fun. I've talked about this with several different people, and the deck just like seems disjointed. Like it is disjointed. It does too many different things. It doesn't focus well enough on one way to attack. And it just like some of your draws come out clunky and they come out way different than other draws. I don't know.
There was a whole bunch of them in day two. I mean,
I know.
I think it's a good deck.
It just doesn't seem like it
should work. I think it Force of Will's important shit and attacks with a 3/2.
It's got 12 counter spells. It's got a bunch. I mean, it's got a bunch of spells to flip Delver. It can run the Stoneforge package. It's got a lot of counter spells. It's got bolt and swords.
So Daniel likes swords and I like bolt. So we both should probably be on the pretty close to the same page on this. And incidentally, we are in that this deck feels like it should not be a real deck. It's a bunch of cards that. It's like half the cards that should be in one deck and half the cards that should be in another deck, honestly.
Yeah.
And I'm not – and maybe that's just because –
I think it's just a Delver deck with a Stoneforge package.
Which, that's the problem.
But I don't think it's that bad.
The equipment doesn't flip your Delver.
And
it has 28 spells to flip your Delver.
All right, dude. You got it.
Like
28. Well, I mean, you're arguing with me. I'm looking at the list right now.
I'm not even arguing, man. I'm just stating a fucking opinion.
Does that ponder and brainstorm?
Obviously, right? if Jit or Batterskull are on top of your deck, it won't flip your Delver. Otherwise, half the deck flips your Delver.
Does it have ponder and brainstorm?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Four of each.
Which is a lot of things to flip your Delver, but I feel like, and maybe this is just because I personally have had a not large amount of success in events past when I tried to do a lot of fun things that were really interactive and cute, but that's what this list looks like, is a lot of fun things that are really interactive and cute. And sure, if you have a really good day and have a very acceptable level of play skill, Owen Turtenwald obviously does, like, you'll get there. But if you have a marginal day, you'll make day two, and then you just get shit on.
Yeah. Going on down the list, Shardless Bug was in the top 8. And an Esper Stoneblade.
Which...
And a Bant deck. Sam Black, I'm sorry, Sam Black was playing the deck that looks like a weird pile to me is the Bant deck.
Well... Sam Black decks almost always look like a weird pile.
Well, this is a Reduke. That's a Reduke deck.
Oh, well, he's played like... Didn't he play that Rug deck in Standard for a while that was ass, too?
That was a long time ago.
Exactly. Like, I don't know. I just kind of think,
I don't remember that either.
Exactly. Reduke either one side plays really solid decks and does amazing, or doesn't play solid decks and makes top 8. So... I assume his skill as a player is absolutely insane.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're all excellent players, but I mean, there was like, what, eight different decks in the top 8?
Yeah.
So that's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, Legacy is a stagnant format.
What's that?
Legacy is a stagnant format.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah, nothing happens there.
All the decks you've seen for the last 6 months will be there.
Yeah. Maverick versus Ad Nauseam. That's all you get.
That happened way more than it should have this weekend, I'll tell you that. Didn't see a single round. I still know Maverick played Ad Nauseam way more times than it should have in Philadelphia or in D.C.
Well, more like Virginia, but whatever.
Yeah.
Where the fuck that tournament was. Although I will say, apparently, a large number of the podcast listeners were in Grand Prix DC, which is kind of exciting. Like, Kevin Sellers, I think, was there. Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know.
Large
yep, that's it. Like a large amount.
Large well, number.
To
that's
be
like
fair,
a third of our listener base.
A third.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Well, what's her name? Her Twitter name is at Inkadelphia or whatever.
Okay.
I know she was there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She a listener?
She's pretty. She looks like a vampire. She whatever. I don't give a shit. But
can you play vampires
know.
In Legacy?
Yes.
If you want.
It's called The Walking Dead, Chris. Yeah. Catch the fuck up.
Those are zombies.
Those zombies.
Chris is dumb. He won't know.
I've only been through season one of it. I thought maybe the vampires come in later.
You know, it's even
like
zombies.
Yeah, but they starve to death because they don't have any. They can't eat zombies.
Well, actually, there's a really good webcomic. Never mind.
Stop.
Back to magic.
Magics. The magics.
This is why we don't do this podcast anymore.
But it definitely looks like Legacy's dying, though. Only 1,800 people showed up for a Grand Prix, so.
Dead.
Format's pretty much dead. I gave it 6 months.
Yep.
And no one will be able to afford to play it anymore.
Sell all your cards now.
Well, Magic's dying in 7 months, so.
Well, probably.
Well, I mean, this is why I only bought Lightning Bolts. Like,
I hear all the time, Legacy's dying, it's going to die, it's unsustainable, and then 1,800 people show up to play it. So.
Well, I mean, let's look at previous Star City. Oh, wait. Star City Dallas had the largest Legacy showing ever? Probably dying. I agree with you, Brian, 100%. Like, yes.
So anybody says that's just kind of stupid.
It's not popular. Whatever. It's not popular in Europe.
No one plays Eternal formats in Europe.
Yeah, they only have 2,200 people there. So.
Yeah, that's not where their largest
Grand
Prix showings
just in
are
Spain.
At all.
That's just in Spain. There's a weird bubble of Legacy players in Spain.
Yeah.
Most of those people were probably showing up with their old standard decks from, like, Masks Block.
Yeah. They're all just, like, Madness decks and Mono Red Burn. That's all it showed up.
Yeah, decks they found in
which,
the rubble of Yugoslavia.
Would actually make a pretty fucking sweet Grand Prix. I would watch that. He's just like, I don't know, I can discard all this shit and you're fucking dead, okay, bro? Like, no, I'm going to cast all this shit and now you're dead.
That would be a fun tournament structure. Like, you could bring any standard legal deck you wanted from any era.
Okay, I bring... I mean, I guess that include bannings, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you couldn't bring...
Well,
you couldn't bring
Memory Jar is banned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You couldn't bring the Stoneforge deck from standard, or you couldn't bring Affinity.
Well, that's not true. I guess it is.
Well, I mean, you could bring the intro deck or whatever. The
mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's good.
Okay. Did anyone watch live coverage of this?
Was that
anyone watch live coverage of Grand Prix DC?
No, I was playing our Graph Through Time all day, so I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I don't.
I had a day, so no.
Huh?
I think I was. Was that yesterday? Or today?
Both.
It was both.
Oh, I realized that magic is a really shitty thing to care about and didn't do any of that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't watch this one, but I watched the ones leading up to it, including the Pro Tour Theros, which we didn't get a chance to talk about because we didn't podcast. But has the coverage been awful recently?
Yes.
I mean, it's just been so god-awful. And, like, they're doing so many things wrong, and I don't know. Maybe it's partly is because right before, like 2 weeks before Grand Prix Theros, I watched the League of Legends World Championships, and like those were so awesome that I went to the Magic coverage and was like, "What are they doing here?" I mean, this just seems really low tech.
This is something we've talked about before too. It's just their coverage of their big events is poor.
It's just really low tech.
Yeah,
like simple things like. Having, like, a stage with the trophy on it. You know what I mean? And, like, making, like, and then the commentary of every plays. Actually, PV brought up a good point today that he doesn't.
I was going to bring that up, too, yeah.
That he does, that it's bad to have old matches running in between matches, that you should at least have some sort of commentary running then, or maybe some plays that were integral, you know, in other people's games, stuff like that.
I can't see, like, you know, like they do, like, in a, like at halftime of a sporting event, have one of them coming down and like just talk about a certain play or certain like three or four turns of what the players were thinking,
yeah.
Maybe what they should have done in retrospect. Not even like knowing their hand, but if they make an obvious punt, just like what that punt was and what they should have done with what's in their hand.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why they can't do this. I know they don't do it because it would cost a little bit of money.
Well, it can't cost that much money.
Well, they have to get somebody competent enough to do that kind of commentary and another person to break down video and set it up for them, which they obviously aren't willing to do.
Well, they could not pay the incompetent people.
No, those are their friends, guys.
So I've been really, really down on the coverage.
Maybe Marshall should start up a Kickstarter for this.
Yeah, that's a good point. Magic coverage Kickstarter. help Watsy cover Magic. It's a good idea. It's a really good idea.
Yeah, I wish they would do more. I mean, it's got to where, like, if I'm at the store or even at home and I want to watch coverage of one of their events, I just mute it and have it on. I mean, it's pretty bad. I don't want anyone to hear, unless LSV's in the booth or something, I don't want to hear what the commentary is.
No.
It's bad.
It's bad, too, when like a good pro will get knocked out of an event, and they'll be sitting on Twitter, like, volunteering to go get in the Twitter, to go get in the booth.
Get in the booth, yeah.
And it's like, get those people in the booth. And, like, I think the last one I saw that would have been awesome, actually, added, I think, was Ifro.
Yeah, he does it all the time.
Yeah, which I don't end up pro Ifro too often, but I think in this situation, they should have got him in the damn booth.
Yeah, he's super entertaining.
Brian just ran away. He got really pissed off.
Well, I mean, honestly, okay, so I'm podcasting from the bathroom right now, so everyone can understand the echo. Because I hear it pretty
and the
bad.
Running water noises.
Okay, no, hold on. Hold up.
Ugh. Oh, my right. God.
So, we're back. But the real talk is...
Jesus Christ.
Brian, you just missed the first
flush.
Yeah,
this is...
Sorry, I had to get up for a minute.
Yeah, don't worry. You didn't miss much because I flushed the toilet for you, buddy.
I can mute your mic then.
Now. I know, but you...
So we had our first live...
Toilet flush.
Toilet flush, yeah.
Okay. But, like,
our first literal toilet flush. We've had a lot of metaphorical ones.
Well, that's fair.
Metaphor.
I guess... Like, yeah, what about, honestly,
oh, go ahead, Sam.
Oh, well, the point I'm, like, trying to make is that, like, so many times Magic coverage should have been better, and somehow they're just like, oh, no, our friends will take care of this. And this blows my fucking mind, and I know Daniel's of the same opinion. And it's just very frustrating because... Magic is not difficult to cover. Like, he and I have sat down and be like, oh, well, this is happening. Oh, look, wait. Okay, what card was that? What? No. Oh, yeah, it kind of looked like that. Sure, that's probably what happened. And in the booth, they're like, well, it looks like he cast a Cultivate. I think that's a bold play for Legacy. I don't think that's really what he should have done. Like, Cultivate's not even in his deck list. You're like, you fucking morons. I don't know. Like, I'm sure that's dumb, but I really just get fed up with people who allegedly are supposed to cover Magic and, like, when I am, and I don't mean presently, but in my apartment, absolutely fucking hammered with Daniel, and we're like, I understand what is happening significantly better than you. Get the fuck out of the booth. Let Efro cover it.
Well, I saw some people like busting Adrian Sullivan's balls about like having like anecdotes about like past Magic cards and stuff like this.
That shit's awesome.
It's
like,
awesome.
That's
exactly
good
what
that
people should be doing
like
in the booth.
Actually, have a background.
Yeah, and like I love it when he does coverage.
Yeah.
So
like, that's like that's what we that's more of what we need. Like
you
it's not that hard of an equation. Like work it out from sports. You need a play by play guy and a color commentary guy.
You need a John Madden and a Pat Summerall. Do it.
Yeah.
I don't like Adrian Sullivan. Like, his voice bugs me.
Oh, really? His voice bugs you.
And it's amazing. And he just does it naturally. Even when he is not on commentary, listening to him describe games, that's how he does it all the time.
Yes.
All the time.
Which is what you want.
And I agree. Like, his voice bugs me. Like, everything about his commentary makes me upset because I can only hear it through his voice. But his actual commentary is fine. It's very line by line. He does what we want. He does the historical impact shit. Like, he's a good commentator. He's the Rachel Ray of commentating. Like, her voice makes me want to fucking cut my leg off, but her 30-minute meals, goddamn, I will fucking crush dinner time. Like, that's what it comes down to.
And a 30-minute ass.
Yeah, motherfucker. Oh. Well, when she was getting divorced from her husband, let me tell you. Kids, boys and girls of the Planeswalker Asylum listening base, Rachel Ray, while she is getting divorced, there's no hotter Rachel Ray. Like, her boobies are big, her self-confidence is low, like, you're getting at that shit. So, back to magic talk.
No, that was kind of a predictable derail, I think.
Yeah.
Well, this is what you get. This is what happens when you don't podcast for a month.
Yeah.
You get the most degenerate side of me.
Yeah. So back to Daniel's point of you know what you need, and they don't have that at all. I mean, there's no and people would always get down to Matt, like, why is Madden explaining all this stuff, you know, in football? And it's like, well, he's explaining it to the people that just don't know.
Right. Yeah. They tuned in for the commercials.
Yeah. And that's what new people that are watching want to see. They want to, you know, they want to learn these things and they want to learn what that interaction means.
Yeah. Like, honestly, like, I never watch a lot of football, but I, embarrassingly, John Madden made it simple for me.
You know, for a sum up our hour and a half podcast is that Wizard of the Coast knows what they need to do and they need to do it. And now whether or not they will is what the question is, I guess.
Well, Brian, I feel like that's a summation of a lot of podcasts on the market right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, that sums it up. I mean, Wizards, they obviously have the money to do this. Whether or not they will spend the money to make these things better and to catch up, because the paper game is great. Their online presence is shit. So,
well, that's the thing that blows my mind. Like, let's assume for a moment that this game is only Magic Online. Jake, would you play?
Oh, no.
Brian?
No.
Chris?
Hell no.
Daniel?
Not even a little.
And I sure as fuck wouldn't. And that's like, okay, so now granted, our tournament attendance has been variable throughout the years, but we have always been dedicated and true Magic fans. And I mean, especially look at Jake and Chris, or not Chris, fucking Alcorn, whatever your name is, Brian. So
you got to write both times.
Yeah.
Drunken rant.
Lame Chris. All right,
no,
now.
Todd.
All right. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Like, we all fucking are about this game. Like, sure, we've got our ebbs and flows, and Chris doesn't play because whatever, and I'm busy, and Daniel hates Magic, and it doesn't matter. Like, Magic the Gathering is really good. Like, it's really well designed, and across the board from a paper standpoint,
you have nothing invested in this game, Sam.
That's not true. I have thousands upon thousands of dollars.
Have nothing invested in that. You can't possibly have anything invested in this game, Sam.
You're right. I just have nothing there. But
you should
overall,
go apologize to PB now. Apologize.
Oh, yeah. Dear Paolo Vito Dama De Rosa, I totally don't have all of my fortune riding on this like you do. So, shit. Sorry, I picked the wrong game to invest in, and you are way better at this than me. Also, your cheekbones are too low for girls to actually want to get at you. So, anyway, honestly, like, we all,
oh, shit,
regardless of our life situations,
yeah, uh-huh,
have at one point in time,
yeah,
given a lot to this game.
Yeah.
if it was online, we wouldn't even have come close.
You're right.
No, because it just misses so much without the in-person aspect.
Exactly. And I would rather sit in a convention call and go 2-7 than play Magic online.
Well,
and I hate losing.
I think here's kind of here's what you're talking about. Okay, Brian and I were involved in one of the most epic online playing experiences of all time. We had an amazing guild in Star Wars Galaxies. It spanned the entire country. We were on all the time, just dominating people. We made tons of great friends, right? Tons of great local friends. We met people in Moore and Oklahoma City and Norman that we'd never met before through this game. People all across the country. I still talk to them, you know? But the thing is, we weren't even as devoted to that game. You know what I mean?
Well,
as it was the Magic. And it's not just because I made quite a bit of money on that game too, but it wasn't just a money aspect or a business aspect. It's because you didn't have that personal experience to fall back on. You know what I mean? And so I think that's what what you're trying to say there.
Well,
I mean, epic experience. We had this epic online experience, right? And it didn't last forever.
Well, and that's the thing, Jake, is because when you walk into a comic shop, there is a actual real and visceral experience. Because, I mean,
it was like, hey, how you doing, motherfucker? You know, shit like that. It was like Will sitting there, being all sweaty, you know, and Sasquatch-like. And I mean,
I've written a fair amount about this, and I've talked about this on Twitter. But just in case our Planeswalker Asylum fans do not know, at one juncture in my life, I was not, let's say, batting 1,000. And when it came down to it, I actually had a pretty rough run of things. And I walked into a comic shop and had a lot of fucking fun playing Magic the Gathering. And I'm going to be honest with you, with the exception of Cameron Cox, the people on this podcast had not existed or had not played Magic. I wouldn't have made it through the next year. Every single one of these people that I get to experience week to week, if I show up, let's be real. I'm loose at best, but all of these kids, listeners, they made me want to keep playing, and it wasn't because they made silly trades with me or, you know, lost me on some random match. They made a real serious and personal connection with me, and that's the thing Magic Online doesn't offer presently.
Okay, well, we can't end in a better way than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with that sentiment, so I think we need to sign off. Chris, what's your stuffs?
I am Psychic Battle on Twitter.
That's it?
That's
the only thing you have going on.
I don't have a Zanga or a MySpace.
Just
follow me on Twitter. All my social media is integrated.
I see. Okay. No Reddits, no Tumblrs. Okay. Dane.
At Captain Top Deck.
Talk to Dan at Captain Top Deck. Okay.
Yep.
Sam.
And listen to his podcast that he doesn't make called anymore, Glory Seekers.
Nope.
Go listen to it for Classic Dan.
Yeah, Classic Dan.
Sure.
Well, if you want to listen to Classic Me, you should probably listen to Planeswalker Asylum 01, where we talk about flip cards ruining Magic.
They did.
Beyond that, I talk about a lot of shit on... Oh, wait, legitmcg.com, where we don't actually have 20 tweets anymore, and I don't do it.
Did that get bought?
Before I actually...
Yes, who knows? Legit, yes, it did.
Who knows these things?
Yeah, and the sad thing is it doesn't have me, because I'm awesome. So... Aside from my narcissism, listeners, you should actually feel free to contact me on Twitter, and if you want to read my weird, awkward article about how Magic Saved My Life. You can find it on wizardsnorman.com, right, Baron?
Yep. If it's, is
yes, sir. I think it's the first one or second one you wrote.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty far in. I try to write weird, awkward strategies in the light, but yeah, it's somewhere in there.
It's there.
Well,
and okay, just for people, I have talked to Heather about resurrecting 20 tweets at some point. So that will happen.
I mean, I just can't.
Yeah, I understand.
That's cool.
It'll happen though. We'll get some stuff worked out, and then we'll get it figured out.
Well, 20 tweets is really important. So
it is important. People are asking about it. So
well, beyond like what I can offer, like I honestly believe 20 tweets makes a very small but real honest part of the Magic community very happy. And
yeah,
I can't do it.
Nope.
Hey Chris, so where are you on Twitter?
He already said. We did that part.
Yeah, you suck.
Why
did you even rejoin this call?
We always want Chris here.
Yeah, oh, that's right. He's pretty and has a nose.
Brian, where do they find you?
WizardsNorman.com on Twitter at WizardsNorman and at OU_Torgo.
Okay. And you find me at Kula. I can't talk right now. What? There? Why is there a bunch of Chris's? I'm confused. No one knows.
You guys, Chris wants to join and leave this call like 1,000 times.
I promise. By the way, I have new headphones coming.
Sweet. Okay. I'm at Couchpirate Jake. The show Twitter is at PW Asylum. Go to couchpirates.com. Go to wizardsnorman.com. We talked about that. Go to Facebook. Like the Couch Pirates. Friend me, Couch Pirate Jake. Go to Wizards Comics and Games there. Go to brainstormbrewery.com. Go to echoes.com. Go to all these places. Do awesome shit there. Talk to awesome people. And I hope you all have fun listening, guys. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks.
Peace out, baby. Thanks.
Planeswalker Asylum is sponsored by Wizards Asylum Comics and Games in Norman, Oklahoma. Wizards is your source for board games, comics, tabletop, miniatures, and collectible card games. Check out wizardsnorman.com for our weekly schedule of Magic the Gathering, wargaming, and Yu-Gi-Oh! Events. And coming soon, wizardsnation.com.
Big blue eyes, pointy nose, chasing mice and digging holes. Tiny paws up the hill. Suddenly you're standing still. Your fur is red, so beautiful, like an angel in disguise. But if you meet a friendly host,
you can do the Harlem Shake.
Speaking of which, some motherfucker called today and spent like 15 minutes on the phone with me trying to order Playboy DVDs.
Nice.
Sweetie, was he breathing heavily?
No. Sadly. But he was really convinced we had access to Playboy cheerleaders. We don't. I happily bought him all the Playboy DVDs he wanted. I just didn't have Playboy cheerleaders. He's like, no, I see it on your website.
This isn't the Playboy you wanted.
He's like, I'm sorry.
This is the Playboy you deserved.
Just lie and say that you can't actually sell those in Oklahoma.
I sell all the DVDs. I'm a porn king.
Are you?
Is this what you imagined you'd be doing when you picked this? When you picked up this job distributing smut?
We don't call it smut, Chris. Jesus Christ.
You should call it smut.
We call it sophisticates.
And they're reading it for the artists.
Yeah, sophisticated life.
Duh.
I love everything Norman Mailer has to say.
Who's that?
No one knows.
Chris, do you actually know who the editor of Playboy magazine is?
No, Norman Mailer was the guy who wrote articles for Playboy forever. He wrote a lot of, like, political stuff.
Why do you know this?
Chris did get it for the articles.
I can't remember where this came, what context this came up in.
I've got a fairly good idea.
You can do the Harlem Shake.
The proceeding has been a production of Couch Pirate Radio. Go to couchpirates.com and our feed or individual feeds on iTunes to get your weekly fix. Remember to subscribe, rate, and comment.
You can put your brain slug in my ear.
The blue is for eating dicks.
It's my semen when it's in your belly. Either one of them. Your baby belly or your poop belly.
Gotta see the dick first.
Alice Fee is really handsome.
I'm all about sex.
Gotta drive him down to the big slaughter thing. If you don't like this, you're uncultured.
I'm getting tired of that East Coast liberal bullshit.
Bitches ain't shit, but hoes and tricks. So look on these nuts and suck this.
I'm not autistic, I'm autastic! A load in the mouth. I can get a guy off pretty quick.
I like him knocked up.
He showed his dick on Twitter.
I'm the porn king.
Couch Pirate Radio.
So you can't kill stupid.